proof that technological solutions were the same the universe over. Proof that the Lamil were, at that level at least, a perfectly ordinary space-faring race. And giving absolutely no hint of the reason behind their abrupt end. All their wondrous habitats had been destroyed within the period of a few hours. There were only two possible explanations for that, mass suicide or a weapon. Neither option sat comfortably in the mind. They opened up too many dark speculations, especially among the scavengers who immersed themselves in the rune ring, constantly surrounding themselves with the physical reality of that terrifying, unknowable day over 2,500 years ago. A third option was the favourite speculation of scavengers. Joshua had never thought of one. 80 meters ahead of him was a habitat shell section, one of the largest ones, roughly oval, 250 meters at its widest. It was spinning slowly about its long axis, taking 17 hours to complete each revolution. One side was the biscuit-coloured outer crust, a tough envelope of silicone similar to Adamist starship hulls. The Xenoch researchers, back in Tranquility, couldn't work out whether or not it was secreted by the habitat's internal polyp layers. If so, then Lamil biological engineering was even more advanced than Edenism's Bitech. Stacked above the silicone were various strata of polyp, 45 meters thick, dulled and darkened by vacuum exposure. Sitting on top of the polyp was a seam of soil 6 meters deep, frozen and fused into a concrete hard clay. Whatever vegetation had once grown here had been ripped away when the habitat split open, grass and trees torn out by the roots as typhoons spun and roared for a few brief seconds on their way to oblivion. Every square centimetre of surface was pockmarked by tiny impact craters from the millennia-long bombardment of ring gravel and dust. Joshua studied it thoughtfully through the gritty mist of particles blurring its outlines. In the 3 years he had been scavenging, he'd seen hundreds of shell fragments just like it, barren and inert. But this one had something. He knew it. He switched his retinal implants to their highest resolution, narrowed the focus, and scanned the soil surface back and forth. His neural nanonics built up a cartographic image, pixel by pixel. There were foundations sticking up out of the soil. The Lamil used a rigidly geometric architecture for their buildings, all flat planes and right angles. No one had ever found a curving wall. This outline was no different, but if the floor plan was anything to go by, it was larger than any of the domestic residences he had explored. Joshua cancelled the cartographic image and datavised an instruction into the space plane's flight computer. Reaction control thruster clusters in the tail squeezed out hot steams of ions, and the sleek craft began to nose in towards the foundations. He slipped out of the pilot seat, where he'd been strapped for the last 5 hours, and stretched elaborately before making his way out of the cockpit into the main cabin. When the space plane was being employed in its designed role of a starship's ground-to-orbit shuttle, the cabin was fitted with 15 seats. Now he was using it purely to ferry himself between Tranquility and the Ruin Ring. He had stripped them out, utilizing the space for a jury-rigged free-fall shower, a galley, and an anti-atrophy gym unit. Even with a geniered physique, he needed some form of exercise. Muscles wouldn't waste away in free-fall, but they would weaken. He started to take off his ship's one-piece. His body was slim and well-muscled, the chest slightly broader than average, pointers to the thickened internal membranes, and a metabolism which refused to let him bloat no matter how much he ate or drank. His family's engineering had concentrated purely on the practicalities of free-fall adaptation, so he was left with a face that was rather too angular, the jaw too prominent, to be classically handsome, and mouse-brown hair which he kept longer than he ought to for flying. His retinal implants were the same colour as the original irises, blue-grey. Once he was naked, he used the tube to pee in before putting on his spacesuit, managing to avoid any painful knocks while he pulled the suit equipment from various lockers. The cabin was only 6 meters long, and there were too many awkward corners in too little space. Every movement seemed to set something moving, food wrappers he'd misplaced flapping about like giant silver butterflies, and crumbs imitating bee swarms.